This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayeshev, and also it is Shabbos Chanukah. Many years we have two Shabbos Chanukahs. It's the first time in a long time where we don't have a Shabbos of Miketz. Just one Shabbos Chanukah Vayeshev. And we always look at this idea of the Parsha of the week has an impact or has a story connection, a deeper connection to that which is occurring in the calendar. And so we always look into the parsha and say, okay, what is the connection between what's happening on the calendar to the parsha? And so the same would apply here. We have a Shabbos Chanukah. We have this idea that we're celebrating the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days miraculously. We have the idea of the victory of the Jewish people over the Syrian Greeks who had conquered and had defiled the temple. And so when the Maccabees were victorious and they were able to reconsecrate the temple, so we're celebrating that victory and the victory of the oil, the expression of the fact that God miraculously let the oil last for 8 days instead of just one day. But what is it? How does it connect to the story of Vayeshev? Vayeshev is really the story of Joseph and the brothers. We have the special coat, the Technicolor dream coat that Yaakov gave to Yosef, and that was create a tremendous amount of jealousy amongst the brothers. Joseph and his dreams, Joseph being sold down to Egypt, Judah going off to, because of that event, he gets married, has children, whole story there. Back to Joseph, you have this back and forth between Joseph and Yehuda and Judah. But there's this thing with the dreams. Because there are dreams at the beginning of the parsha, there are dreams at the end of the parsha. But there's something very different about these dreams. Because we've had dreams before in the Torah. We had the dream of Jacob's ladder. We've had other dreams. What is different here is that the dream that Joseph has, that Yosef has, is given interpretation. It's the first time that we see that a dream is told over and interpreted. And that beforehand, we've had these dreams where the Torah tells us the dream, but you don't have others interpreting it for someone else. The Gemara in Brachos, interestingly enough, talks about dreams, and what it really boils down to is that a dream can really, how it plays out, really can depend on how it is translated, how it's defined by the people who are hearing it and how they explain the dream. That you can have the one dream and depending on who you take it to and how that person interprets the dream will actually impact how it manifests itself, which is a pretty unbelievable thing. So that we see this and then look at the first dream that Joseph has. He tells his brothers, we were binding sheaves in the field. When suddenly my sheaf stood up and remained upright, then your sheaves. And then your sheaves gathered around and bowed to my sheaf. Now, I've learned this many times, and I never stopped to say, wait a second, this is unusual. We just automatically take it as for granted that the brothers see this as somehow Joseph is having a dream about the brothers being his subjects, that he's going to be their king. But the truth is, if you would take a step back and you stop and you say, well, let me look at this dream, sheaves in the field and sheaves bowing down to other sheep, to a centralized sheaf, like, why does that translate the way it translates? But the truth is, it doesn't necessarily, but the fact that the brothers translate it this way is ultimately what occurs, that in the end of the story, we end up seeing that the brothers go down to Egypt and bow down to Joseph as he is the second to the king. He's basically number two. He's the prince of Egypt. So it's a remarkable thing. This is the first time that we have this type of idea of translation of a dream. So now, how did the brothers come to this conclusion? So there's an unbelievable idea that it is royalty, or it is the power of a ruler and true power of government, when there is that type of control of a society, where society is governed properly, that in turn translates into the society's ability to feed its people. And that if there's a lack of stability in government, that actually will jeopardize the ability of a society to feed itself. But when the brothers hear about this idea of the sheaves, and they see that the sheaves, their sheaves are bowing to the sheaf of Joseph, they understood that this is about about royalty, or about one who's governing over others. That they made that connection. But their translating, their interpretation, is what leads the dream into its actuality. So we have this idea of this concept, or this lofty idea, a dream, something that's coming from the subconscious, and that it's actually through a human involvement and interpretation that it brings it into this world, that it makes it happen, it actualizes it. Now, how does that connect to the story of Hanukkah? So when you look at the story of Hanukkah, so the Hanukkah menorah and the oil and the miracle take center stage. And it rightfully does, because the idea that God expresses the miracle through the menorah and through the oil and through the lights of the menorah is the expression of God's love for the Jewish people and the connection to us. So that's celebrated and takes center stage. But when we take a step back and we look at the story of Hanukkah, there was a tremendous struggle. And what occurs is that the Greek culture comes in, and it sends the Jewish people into a tremendous shock, because for the first time in their history, they're challenged by an incredibly strong ideology of Greek culture. And for the first time, you have Jews that are what we call the Hellenists, the Mityavnim, that they were so attracted to the wisdom and the beauty of Greece. And it really threw us for a loop. And it was something that ended up defiling the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash, of the temple, and turned things upside down. And so when the Hashmonaim are able to overcome and battle back and defeat the Greeks, what was really happening is a much greater story, is that the gestalt of Torah, Judaism in the way we understand things about the prominence of Torah and what Torah means, because what was the struggle? The Greeks and the Greek ideology came in, and it said that man has the ability to understand this world. But where it stops and starts is there. That whatever we can attain in terms of our understanding is reality. But anything that's beyond our comprehension is no longer, it's not recognized. And so what Torah says is that no, it's that there's something that's greater than man's ability to comprehend, and that's God and his wisdom. And that's Torah. Torah is an expression of the wisdom of God, of Hashem. And so that's something that goes and is higher, a higher level than our comprehension, our rational and our conscious comprehension. I want to say perhaps that the idea of the dreams in this parasha, and specifically our involvement in the translation of those lofty subconscious dreams is the idea of the connection that we can connect to the wisdom of Hashem that is above, and that's ultimately where we prevail over Greece. Because Greece says that man has tremendous ability to understand and comprehend, that wisdom, our human wisdom, is tremendously lofty. But they also say that it's limited. But the idea that you can take a dream, something that's so lofty, and bring it down and be involved and be able to translate it into actualization is saying something incredible, that you can connect to something so much more above, so much loftier, the idea of the wisdom of Hashem, which is beyond our comprehension, but then to connect to that and then to bring it down into this world is the idea of the translation of the dreams and to make it a reality, to an actualization. And that's the greatest, that's the victory of our people, that we're able to experience and to be challenged by this incredible force of this incredible wisdom of Greece. Perhaps even take some of that and integrate it into our understanding of the world, but to take it a higher level, to be able to connect to that higher realm that's beyond our comprehension, and to be able to bring it down into this realm, into this world. Through what? Through learning of Torah. Because Torah is Hashem's gift to us, our ability to connect to the higher realm, to His wisdom, and then to bring it into this world. And so it's true. We celebrate this incredible holiday, this incredible victory with the menorah, with the lights of the candles, of the oil. That's the expression of the connection of God's love for us, the fact that He manifested His miracle through that. But ultimately, the victory is our ability to connect to God, and then to translate it and bring it into this world, and bring it into this realm, into our world. And then to continue on, and to constantly work towards strengthening that connection that we have with the upper realm, with Hashem, and then to bring it into this world. It starts with Avram. He calls God not just the God of the heavens, but the God of this land, of the Haaretz, this world. And we, His children, His offspring, that's what Chanukah is. We're bringing Hashem back into the temple, to bring Him back into this world and to illuminate the world with that hidden light that was given to us at the beginning of creation. And that hidden light allows us to see everything for what it is. But it's our partnership with Hashem. And so, as we enter this tremendously powerful Shabbos, Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos Vayeshev, we should realize this incredible gift that we've been given, and that we should continue to celebrate and bring this legacy, this incredible power of bringing Hashem into this world, into our lives, and to bring it into the world and to help illuminate the world. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos and happy Chanukah.